Hello and welcome to Life, Lemons and the Law, a Clark Wilmot podcast series all about life-changing experiences of all kinds with the people involved. This episode focuses on two people with a similar story, Joe Cripps and John Lamb, who have both built and exited their own businesses. We're going to hear about everything that they've been through, how the businesses started, the high points and the low points, and of course, what they've learned on their journey. So John and Joe, can I ask you both to please introduce yourself? Joe, can you go first, please?
Hi, I'm Joe Cripps. I'm the co-founder of Trail. And Trail is an app for hospitality and retail businesses to run the perfect location, the perfect site.
And John, please tell us who you are and a little bit about Mazooma Mobile.
Hi, thanks Ed for having me. My name is John Lamb. I co-founded a company called Mazooma Mobile in 2007 with my business partner. In short, we exited the business in 2017.
Joe, can you tell us about the eureka moment, if there was a eureka moment, when you first came up with the concept behind Trail?
I'd spent my early career working in hospitality technology. There's a large market leader called Forth. I worked for them for a number of years as they scaled up. I got very interested in the idea of business intelligence within hospitality because there is sort of three or four key KPIs, basically sales, labor, and cost of goods. If those are fed in real time and monitored in real time, you can run a really effective business. So I'd had this in my head, you know, BI was coming into the sector, you know, back in sort of 2010 or something like that. And I realized the problem was that with a highly transient workforce like you have in hospitality and retail, there's no point emailing them or trying to sort of send them PDFs, mainly because 90% of the staff don't have an email address within the business. And there had to be this way to, you know, how could you transform the day? How could you make each location, each restaurant, each Pret, each Itsu more performant? My inkling was that by feeding them the metrics during the day to show them how they were doing and by allowing them to compete intra-site, we could raise the bar, essentially.
So what devices are catering staff using to look at Trail over the course of their day? Because obviously they're not sitting at a desktop or a laptop.
Absolutely. So, again, coming into the sector, one of the things I was doing was going to all of these restaurant locations and all these shops, as they call them. Front of house looks beautiful. It's all nice and shiny. You pick up your sandwich, la-di-da, nice smile. Behind the scenes, it was just chaos. Post-it notes, Excel sheets, clipboards in the main. You know, how are people actually running like this? Really, and I think that's quite rare for startups these days, we really were going into a greenfield opportunity. We were displacing paper and very, very ancient methods of running a business. When we were sitting in front of VCs in the early days, they just didn't know that problem existed. All of our initial decks were these photos that I took in the early days of an old till covered in post-it notes or, you know, a sticky bit of paper with a shift written on it. So I think you have this combination of a very unpredictable environment, operators that are very focused on just sales, labor, and cost of goods, and not really very focused on things like perhaps productivity and technology. And so you end up with a very sort of peripatetic way of running the business. You know, John tells Peter how to run it, Peter tells Sally, and you end up with this kind of operating model, this habitual way of this is how you run the shop, you know?
Okay, fascinating, yeah. And John, tell us how Mazooma Mobile started.
The idea was born in 2003. And previous to that, I have always been in the mobile industry. And I recognized that there was a missing gap in terms of the used handsets. It's always been curious what happened to those handsets thereafter, not actually thinking about environment, just from a commercial perspective at the time. And we were approached by Vodafone back in 2000 with a huge amount of handsets that were obsolete in terms of the technology. We were switching from analog to digital. So I said, there must be something we could do with this. So I searched and hunting around and found developing markets that still use the old technology. Hence, I was able to repurpose those handsets. It was quite a lucrative deal for the business I was working for at the time. And that made me recognize the benefits of repurposing handsets and giving it a second life.
Now, it seems in 2022 like a natural conclusion that someone would come to, but back then you were one of the first to do it, perhaps the first to do it. Was it a eureka moment, or was it something that sort of incrementally crept up on you?
If I'm totally honest, it incrementally crept up on me. It was very much driven by the stock first and then recognizing the environmental impact it had thereafter. And we were banging on about it for ages, myself and my business partner, because before Mazooma Mobile started, we approached the networks, we approached Carphone Warehouse, we approached the manufacturers, and it wasn't their core concern at the time, back in 2001, 2002. They were just keen on pleasing shareholders, getting more revenue, more subscribers, more data usage and all that kind of stuff. But it was obvious it had to happen at some point, but we didn't have the impact at the time. Having found that, we thought, right, no one's listening to us. Let's just go to market ourselves, direct to consumers. That's when the penny dropped for us and said, this could be quite big.
Yeah, and so your ambitions for the company grew. Joe, what about you? Did your ambitions start small and grow? What was the scope of your vision when you started?
No, I did have a vision to, I wanted to build a big global business. We were looking at the time at things like Slack, which was emerging. Trello was very much present. And I wanted to build something like that. In the early days, we spoke to the COO of Trello. And, you know, he said, oh, that's amazing. You're quite like us, except you're over a hierarchy. We set our target on this business, which is like 10% of the world.
Yeah.
And in fact, what we did was, in execution, was that we picked a small sector in the UK and absolutely nailed that and took 30% market share. So I'm very proud of that. But certainly, I didn't want to just dip my toe. I wanted to really make a splash, for sure.
You have now exited your businesses. So there's a happy ending, so to speak, to both stories. But tell us about some of the low points. What is the lowest it got? Joe?
Well, I think, any entrepreneur, particularly those doing something very R&D heavy, like tech, face the prospect of running out of money. And obviously, in the early years, we were running a small team. We hadn't raised much. You know, we were perpetually worried about running out of cash and not being able to pay our staff. But all of that paled into insignificance when March 2020 hit. And I remember we had a board meeting. I had some notes in the board meeting like a week before saying, you know, there's this virus in China. And my business partner laughed at me and said, come on, that's not going to happen. 10 days later, the whole industry shut. You know, it was that sudden. What did COVID mean for us? Well, from a business point of view, we lost 95% of our revenue overnight. And the business was probably in the best state it had ever been in. We were starting to think about selling the business. So, to overnight just really hit the wall was shocking, really shocking.
How bad did it get from a personal perspective? I mean, you think you've lost 95% of your business, all those dreams and aspirations, they're potentially up in smoke. Did you feel anxiety, stress, depression because of your responsibilities to your family, perhaps to your staff?
Yeah, I think when COVID hit, like any change curve you go through, there's the very initial shock. And for that meant, you know, I thought I was going to come out of this and make some money and that my family would be set up. And, you know, we were doing fine. But suddenly we had this prospect where maybe those last 6 or 7 years, like the prime of my career, has gone down the drain completely. Then my landlord rang up and said, we're just about to sell the house. Would you like to buy it? At a point where clearly I couldn't. So, we really struggled. We thought we were going to be homeless, in fact. So the shock of COVID compounded with the shock of potential homelessness was pretty extreme. And then from a business point of view, things started to turn around. We had this initial week where we thought we were going to have to make all the staff redundant, take it back to bare bones. And then the government furlough scheme kicked in and really saved us, to be honest. If it hadn't been for that, I think we would have been, you know, there wouldn't have been a trail in the end. So
tell me, Joe, about your relationship with your co-founder, Will, and the rocky road that's been.
Yeah, my co-founder and I read an article in the FT. One of the things it stated was, you know, one of the main reasons for startups failing is the founders falling out. Now, Will and I have known each other since we were 16. We went to college together and there's so much love between us. And we did say in the early days, look, we can't ever let that happen. We've got to exit this as friends. But, you know, time went on. We're completely different people with completely different skill sets. He's a product guy. You know, he's very sort of detail orientated. I'm very sort of skim over the surface and build relationships. That's what I do. It meant that when we were working in the same place at the same time on the same projects, we just butt heads constantly. So it got to the point where we really weren't even talking to each other. And we suddenly one day turned around and we're like, Christ, we could lose all this because we just can't, we've screwed up our relationship here. And at that point, we started ringing up Relate, you know, the sort of marriage guidance people. And we were seriously looking for a marriage guidance counselor. And we ended up finding this guy called Dave Bailey, who actually is a CEO coach for startups, who was able to help me and Will sit down with each other, listen to each other, and structure the next part of the business. And that saved it, you know.
And what about yourself, John? What have been the lowest points? It can't always have been plain sailing.
No, I had a business before this as well, which failed miserably. I entered into the retail world of selling mobile phones on contract in the mid-90s, but I did not have the finance or the clout or the business know-how to expand my business. Carphone Warehouse, Phones for You came along and practically dominated the whole market. So that business failed. That didn't deter me from setting up Mazooma Mobile. What drove me was I was trying to explain to my bosses at the time that repurposing handset was the way forward, but they couldn't see it. And that frustrated me. But I could see it. It was there. And I demonstrated it by buying the stock from Vodafone and selling it to Hutchins in Sri Lanka. And that still wasn't enough to show them that it's a business worth considering. And that kind of pushed me, I suppose, into creating my own business. And I said to my wife, I sat her down and I said, look, I want to give it another go.
Did she need persuading? Was she on board straight away?
She was on board straight away, much to my surprise at the time. I was actually very nervous when I had to approach the subject to her.
Do you feel like your wife and your family missed out when you were building the company?
I mean, is there any regrets? Of course there were regrets. I've missed out on my son growing up massively. I felt I was doing everything for the family. You make excuses, the hours you put in for the sake of the family, but it's quite a feeble excuse, really. It really is. It's what I've learned. But thankfully, because of my wife, she's managed to hold everything together for me, which has made things a lot easier since I've sold the business to be able to rekindle that family spirit. But it was definitely lost. You know, I missed many things with him, which I can't get back. It's quite emotional talking about it because, you know, I do feel bad for missing out on a lot of things. However, I think we're one of the lucky ones to be able to come out of it with something.
What about high points from a business perspective? What were the punch in the air moments? What was the best bit?
The first order we received on Mazooma Mobile. The site went live January the 1st, 2007. So both my business partner and myself, we sat in front of our PC just waiting for the first online order to come in. It took a few hours. And the first order that came in to sell their handset, it was quite an incredible feeling. So,
was that for a single mobile phone?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Was it suddenly in influx?
No, we thought this was the start of it, but it wasn't. The online world was different then. It was a bit immature back then. So the uptake was quite slow. And then we pumped everything into marketing and that's when the orders started coming through. It coincided with the recession in the UK at the time. Late 2007, beginning 2008, and marketing was cheap. So we were able to take advantage of the low cost with marketing on TV campaigns and all that kind of stuff. And that just propelled us. Within 4 months, we were doing, it was about 2,000 handsets a month to about 60, 70,000 handsets a month.
Joe, how about you? Do you remember any sort of punch the air with joy moments along the journey?
People describe running a startup as, you know, just constant series of false summits. So you constantly feel like you get somewhere and then you look around, you know, oh my God, there's more to go. So the first big one for us was pitching the wireframes of this product to Itsu when I was working there and convincing them that this product needed to exist in the world. And they gave us a check for 80K. That's what seeded the company.
Yeah, amazing.
And then hitting the first 1,000 locations. And then a few years later, there was signing Wetherspoons, which is like 1,000 sites and our biggest customer. And then ironically, COVID actually caused us to pivot the business to make a completely self-service product, which anyone could sign up for at any time. And so I was incredibly proud to run a business, unlike most of the other hospitality tech, where anyone anywhere in the world could sign up for our product and start using it instantly.
Question I didn't say I was going to ask you, because Trail is about imposing systems, although albeit quite simple systems, on chaos, and catering sites hit by COVID had to impose systems. Was there an element of using Trail to impose COVID restrictions on existing shops?
Absolutely. So one of the decisions we made immediately as COVID hit was some businesses are still going to need us. And if we really want to come back from this, we're going to need to build goodwill. So we provided lots of content almost overnight for shutting down a site. And the theory was, if they use Trail to shut down, they'll use Trail to reopen again. We'll be the first system they switch back on. So we produced lots and lots of closing down checklists, but it was when they all reopened that we produced this series of, you know, marketing pieces, which is like, here's a set of tasks you can use to get your sites back online. Most of their staff had turned over by then and they were able to pick up, oh yeah, this is how you run it. When Peter, Sally and John have all gone, common knowledge about how to run the site has left. How do you run the site? Well, actually, with Trail, you had this digital guide that told you. That's why we did so incredibly well coming out of COVID.
That's brilliant. It's super smart.
Okay, so another question for you both. Why did you want to exit the business? Joe, can I come to you first?
Personally, I had set out to build something quite focused for a period of time and sell it. You know, it was always the intention. I think it's a good intention in technology because there's a lot of old, rusty, not fit for purpose products out there that have overextended their lifetime. We felt with Trail, there was going to be this period, this golden age of productivity in hospitality, and there would be a window for us to be part of that. So both our intention and in the way we executed the product was always about building something small and focused, doing one thing well, and then selling it into a platform play, which is exactly what we've done.
Yeah. Okay. So it was always the plan. John, same question to you. Why did you want to exit the business?
Why did I want to exit the business? I don't think I did at the time, if I'm honest. In all fairness, when we're at the peak of our business, probably in 2013, 2014, we had a lot of people approaching us to buy our business. We, being myself and my business partner, felt there was a lot more to do for the business. But unfortunately, my business partner had to leave the business 2 years before we sold for personal reasons. So he handed the reins to me to run the whole business, which I did. I had no problems with that. But I underestimated how much it took out of me. And 18 months in, I was absolutely shattered. And coincidentally, someone else came and asked if we were selling the business. And because I've been through that process before, I wasn't too excited about the whole thing. So yes, these are the numbers. And they came back with a figure that worked for us. And I thought, oh, hello. Probably a light bulb moment. This could happen. And that's what happened. I wasn't out there to sell the business. I was out there to continue. But funnily enough, that customer who came to make an offer to us, I'd just come back from a trip from Australia to see my business partner to plan out the next 2 or 3 years for the business. And on my way back on the plane, that's when they called me. Coincidence? Is it fate? Who knows? And 4 months later, we sold the business.
Okay, Joe, let's get a little bit philosophical. What has your journey with Trail taught you?
There's lots of points, and I think we're using that learning to help advise other startups now. But there is a question about legacy, and I think watching our legacy reflected back of us is incredible. So there are 5 or 6 startups that have come out of Trail staff already. I think it's trite to say it, but you know, people matter. But it's more than that. It's about caring about the team and genuinely always doing the right thing by them. Often that has been against the best interests of the business. The second point would be that the product is the experience. What that means is the product must be of the highest quality. It must sell itself to the user and not be papered over by, you know, salespeople and customer success people. And then again, similarly on culture, I think the big value for us was about transparency. But what we actually realized is if you are truly transparent with your team, it becomes very hard to do the wrong thing. You're held to account by the words you've said. And that became a real tenet of Trail and one that I'll definitely use in another business. And then lastly, I didn't know about myself that I was able to execute on my plans. You know, we were able to turn around at the end of this and say, we told you we were going to do this thing and we've done it.
And that same philosophical question to you as well, please, John. What's your journey taught you?
What's it taught me? There's always a price for everything. But don't live in regret, I think. Just focus on how you can improve it thereafter. I think people, including myself, we could beat ourselves up too much about what if, what could be. It's taught me how to dust myself down, get back up and fight another day. But what it has taught me is that family by far is the most important thing. I keep talking about Lisa, my wife, but she has been absolute pillar of strength throughout. When I sold the business, on the day we sold the business and we signed the contract, and Simon called me and said, the funds are in. You know, it was just as much her achievement as it was mine.
John Lamb, Joe Cripps, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Amazing. Thank you, Ed.